Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As we enter a new era.
Couldn't stop him. He keeps going forward.
History.
And I will fight for you, for your family, and your future.
Happens here.
Isn't it nice to win?
Here. Nice to win.
This is News Talk 97.3. The Sky. The Sky.
Here we are. Hour number three already. Woo!
Flying.
Flying by, my friend. Flying by. It's 8:07, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show with Greg Cassidy. Morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Hey, so Thanksgiving, you're having company.
Yes. My aunt and uncle from Houston, Bob and Carol, who come on some holidays.
Ted and Alice coming too.
Oh, yeah. They were a young couple in that era, so that's all they heard was about that.
Hopefully that's all they do.
They're good conservative Christian folks. So they're coming. And then some of Jen's parents and one of her brothers and one of her sisters. And so...
So what, it'll be 12 total?
I think 13th, that one of Blake's friends is coming over.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. It should be... luckily, the weather's going to be nice, and we've done this before. We'll get a couple of long tables, folding tables, and actually eat on the patio. It'll be nice.
That sounds really nice. And you're right, the weather will be perfect. Might even be a little on the warm side.
Yeah.
Might have to get a break out a fan or two.
We got a couple of
those. Trying to be helpful.
Sure.
Hey, we had our friend John who comes by every year and brings us these big grid calendars.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many years he's been doing it. It's a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, he said... Bob, many thanks again for bringing us great informative humorous truth and information again for yet another great year. Takes great courage to do what you do. We are very lucky that you do it here. I have listened since your first day here.
Wow. That's crazy. And he hasn't left yet.
Nope. It has been my goal to bring you a big grid calendar just before the Christmas holiday season for many years. Indeed, I apologize they are late this year. I don't know. I would consider that in plenty of time.
As long as you're here for January, we're good. Yeah.
But I've been very ill since the summer, been in the hospital, bedridden since August, been on the mend for a short time, and getting better slowly but surely. I didn't get to talk to him. He dropped these off yesterday. I saw him. I waved to him. I normally bring pastries for all at the station along with the calendars, but this time money is tight. Haven't worked since August. Can't return until January if all goes well. Don't know if you even use the calendars.
Oh.
And then we can honestly say, yes, we do. And Greg's version of it books every single guest that's on the show all year.
Uh-huh.
And so the big grid... The big boxes on there serve the purpose.
Yes, they do.
Perfectly. So, no, thank you, thank you, thank you.
They're a part of the show.
Yeah, you said, well, with cell phones taking over and all that, nope, it's so much easier to see at a quick glance exactly where you're at. In closing, I say that you and the Sky have brought such a positive perspective to me and to all of your listeners for so many years. You are part of my family. I feel the same way, John. Please know that we are grateful every day for those 4 hours you bring us. Merry Christmas and a great holiday season to all at the Sky. And may God bless John. And I don't know if he's comfortable giving out his last name, John S. And this is what I say. Can we all just say a quick prayer for him
Absolutely.
And his returning health and financial issues get resolved? Mm-hmm. And he did write, Bob, huge congrats on 23 years next week. That has to be a record. Yeah, employment in radio is very similar to dog years.
Yes.
But except there's no pension.
Well, details.
That's 401k.
You can end up at the pen, but that's a totally different thing.
Yeah, no. In all fairness and all honesty, feel so utterly and completely blessed. So it's overwhelming. Mm. And from everything, I get to do what I absolutely love.
Absolutely.
My family is healthy and, in fact, expanding with a new grandchild that came along this year. So for me personally, it doesn't get much better. What about you, Greg?
Well, sometimes it's kind of an oddity. And you know my story in the sense that I spent my entire adult life in St. Louis radio, moved to Florida 10 years ago, a little over 10 and a half years ago now, and ended up working at a radio station that did not last. And I really thought when I moved here, okay, you know, I'm going to get back to the big city. I'll go back, you know, whatever. I just kind of needed a break from life. That's why I was moving to a smaller town. And but I met Jen here. And so when the job went away and I met Jen, I'm like, well, you know, there's not a lot of this isn't St. Louis anymore. There's not a lot of options. And I really
But there ain't a lot of Jens in St. Louis, I bet.
No, there's not. No. I got the good one. And so I kind of thought that my radio career after, you know, 40 years was done. And a friend said, hey, you know, Jay's leaving at the Sky. And I thought, man, I've never done talk radio. I've done music. I've done whatever, done everything else, but I've never done talk radio. So I didn't even apply. And I heard somebody on, did not realize they were just kind of filling in. And
I think he realized it either.
Yeah, but anyway, details. And I applied on a few music stations. And Chris over at KTK said, hey, I don't have anything, but they're still looking for somebody next door at the Sky. And that was just over 7 years ago.
Wow.
And I literally, like a lot of our radio friends, I've got a bunch of them that are selling real estate and everything else now. You get to a certain point, the jobs just aren't there. And out of nowhere comes the Sky, and here I am 7 years later. So,
and your life has never been better since you met me. I mean, if you look at it that way.
I hadn't gotten to that part yet.
Okay.
But you know that was next.
I knew I was in the mix. I could understand Jen taking precedent.
Yes.
Justifiably.
I can say,
so.
Bob, I've never, in my 40-whatever years of radio, I've never worked with anybody quite like you.
Thank you. Gosh, that means the world to me. When we were kind of quasi-interviewing Greg, we all had lunch together.
Yeah.
You know, general manager Nick, me, and Greg. And, you know, we walked away, and they said, you know, what do you think? What do you think, you know? Mm-hmm. I said, honestly, guy's a complete home run. My only, you know, caveat, if there is one, is that I don't know. I think maybe he's too much like me. We have too many of the same interests, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And but the rest is history.
Oh yeah.
And
but hasn't it flown by? Seriously, I mean, it was 7 years in September.
Wow.
That's yeah.
It goes by way too fast.
Yes, it does.
You only live once.
Yep.
Greg made one of those bucket list kind of things. He said, I've decided I'm going to get a Jeep.
Yes.
When he talks about buying something, it is never idle discussion.
Oh, no.
He's a man on a mission.
Yes.
He's a man even on my mission. Hey, I'm thinking about getting a little sports car. Yeah. He had one picked out for me, drove me to the dealership like 24 hours later. Like,
and it was
to
yours.
The door.
Yeah.
And
much.
I bought it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so he's got a new Jeep, and it's Sarge green is the color, right?
Yes.
So it's like a very much like a military army kind of olive greenish, and it's beautiful. And but we got to come up with a name.
Yeah.
Who's got a name
idea?
So
I've been going down, and I've never really named vehicles, but apparently a lot of folks do. I've been going down, okay, so it's kind of like a tank, you know. So what are some tank names? I thought about going down that road. What are some famous sergeant names? You know, you go down that list. You could, I don't know if you wanted to. But anyway, there's a bunch of those. So that's just kind of where my brain has been. You know, you could call it Sherman for the tank or Abrams or a weird twist on one. And a lot of folks wouldn't get it. I thought about calling it Kinchlow, because Kinch was the radio operator on Hogan's Heroes who was a sergeant. And I knew Ivan Dixon.
You got to meet him.
Knew him. Oh, yeah. We chat on the phone once in a while. We'd met in person because he ended up on
the
radio station.
You weren't hanging out with Hogan, were you? Because he
had
a different lifestyle.
No, not even Richard Dawson. But so anyway, so yeah, trying to think of something that's maybe sergeant or tank or something related for the.
You know what?
I always wondered one and so finally got it. It's 4 years old, had 11,000 miles on it.
I don't want to ruin it for everybody because they're going to maybe play along. They might have some ideas for you
sure.
What to name it. I don't want to ruin it, but I always have the best names,
yes.
Always. I've named people, human beings, that their parents now call them 40 years later.
See, that's funny.
Yes. So
that's funny.
I thought of, when you start getting on the military theme and all that, and sergeants, I thought of war hero Audie Murphy.
Yes.
And just simply call the Jeep Murph. or the Murph.
That would work.
Either one.
That would work.
And then I just thought of one, and it doesn't really match up with anything other than football and a tough guy.
Yeah.
Butkus.
Oh,
like Dick Butkus.
Right.
But I don't know. So that's kind of off the top of my head.
Somebody suggested Bradley, you know. You could call it Brad, you know.
Brad, like the Bradley. Okay, what about
the tanks?
Do you want to name Abrams? Or would that remind you of the woman up in Georgia that we used to make fun of?
That I used to call the tank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, maybe not.
All right.
We'll just keep it as a joke, but yeah.
But if anybody's got something, you can share that with us.
Sure. I'd love to know.
Yeah. On or off the air or email or telegraph.
Smoke signals?
Telegram.
Yeah. Okay. No smoke signals. John Kerry would show up and shut you down for killing the planet.
Yeah, he is going to fly everywhere telling us about that we're on the brink of a climate emergency.
While in his private jet. Yeah.
He's on it.
Mm-hmm.
Special Agent John Kerry at your service. Bringing ketchup to everyone in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It is 8:16. We've got a lot more. And we've got Thanksgiving, and we have a lot to be thankful for. 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It is 8:20, 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's a happy hump day, Trump Day, attitude of gratitude, being thankful. Tomorrow, of course, is Thanksgiving. Don't think about any of this political correctness, this lefty garbage where they try to call you a colonialist or any of that. Stop the nonsense, would you? This is more of a spiritual connection. It's being thankful for the blessings that you have. And we all are very, very blessed. I mean, if you can hear the show, that's a blessing. All right? So, Trump's favorability soars in a new poll post-election. Consumer confidence soars, 16-month high post-election. Trump may throw out some of the old media when he gets in there, you know? The ones that are in the press room. Yep. He might say, out. You're fired.
Can you imagine that? That'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see. Oh, John Bolton mouthing off about one of the Trump picks. Yeah, apparently he's not a fan of Tulsi Gabbard's. John Bolton, whether you're the left or the right, everybody considers him, he was always kind of the wild card, if you will. So you got the wild card saying that you, Tulsi Gabbard, are you have extreme views and you live on a different planet.
A different planet.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. This from a man whose mustache has its own zip code.
That is correct.
Come on. All right.
Well, he was on CNN, and he was bashing the pick that incoming President Trump has made with former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, and who has achieved the rank of, I believe it's Lieutenant Colonel, in the reserves, and so she has military background.
Yep.
And she'll make a great pick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but Jim Acosta, that little crybaby on CNN, he said, well, we've seen Matt Gaetz withdraw his nomination for attorney general. Should Tulsi Gabbard do the same for director of national intelligence? John Bolton says, well, look, she said many things publicly that I think disqualify her. Okay. Yeah. Really? Things that you said? These are not just because her views are extreme. They are on a different planet.
Right.
Different planet.
Okay.
They are the views of somebody who doesn't understand anything about American interests. And to put her in charge of the office, Director of National Intelligence, I think is malpractice. I think the effect it will have on foreign governments saying we're not sharing intelligence with the United States if it's going to come into the hands of somebody like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
How ridiculous is that?
Yeah. And look, she's got security clearances. She's got background checks. She's got all that. And it just seems like there's a little sour grapes here going on. And you're going to see more of that. Yeah, you'll see more of that coming your way. Hey, how about this Tom Homan and the mayor of Denver? I mentioned this yesterday. I think that may end up as a better pay-per-view than Tyson Jake Paul.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Woo. That's a good way to put it.
Because the Denver mayor said something like, yeah, well, I'm going to protect, you know, the illegal citizens of Denver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll have to arrest me to get me out of the way or whatever.
Yeah.
And Tom Homan, he's like, oh, I have no problem with that. I'd be willing to to put the mayor in jail.
I'm loving this guy already. He is awesome.
He said, look, sanctuaries are breaking the law. I mean, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Yeah. Homan responded to the question about, you know, dealing with this Denver mayor and is that breaking law? He said, you're absolutely breaking the law. All he has to do is look at Arizona versus the U.S. You'll see he's breaking the law. The Denver mayor, we agree on one thing. He's willing to go to jail. I'm willing to put him in jail. And, yeah, it's a felony to knowingly harbor and conceal an illegal alien from immigration authorities. It is also a felony to impede a federal law enforcement officer. So if you don't want to help, that's fine. He can get the heck out of the way. But we're going to get the job done. President Trump has a mandate from the American people. We've got to secure this country, et cetera. It really is odd, though. And I said this yesterday. So this mayor is so, you know, does he get like an award for saying I'm willing to like sacrifice my freedom so that possibly felonious illegal aliens, possible rapists or murderers, are going to be protected from the laws of the United States?
What about protecting the citizens that put you in office?
What?
That's a crazy.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
Yeah. Right.
Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and Tony. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Also, I want to say happy anniversary and happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Thank you.
I just want to call in about Tulsi Gabbard. I hear a lot of people, even on the right, they think she's some kind of Russian shill, or you got John Bolton's idiocy. So I have a real good friend of mine. She's a retired major in the Army. Okay, she went from enlisted, and then she became a major. She served with Tulsi. She served under Tulsi when Tulsi was, at that time, a major. So I asked this person, which this is a combat veteran. She had this person did two tours. She, you know, she's had troops under her. She's done the whole thing. I said, what's your thoughts of Tulsi? This is her words. And of course, this is anecdotal. Take her for what it is. She said, Tulsi's a true patriot. She says people don't like her because she thinks for herself. But every decision is based upon the Constitution and Bill of Rights and what's going to benefit the troops under her. She said that she was a very intelligent person, and she's the type of person, the leader, that will listen to all sides and make a decision. But yet, the Constitution and Bill of Rights is her North Star. So I said, well, yeah, but I heard a really smart guy on, you know, on the news say that she's a Russian shill, and she laughed, and she goes, no. She goes, Tulsi understands that Russia is an adversary. She also understands that we're not equipped right now to go after them. And another big thing that I didn't know about Tulsi really doesn't like females in combat, which is ironic. And, of course, this major that I talked to, she doesn't like them either. So I have a new respect for Tulsi. I think you never hear about, in any of the news, you never hear about her combat experience or her leadership experience. So that's why I wanted to bring that to the table. And, if John Bolton's against it, I'm for it.
There you go.
There you go. Wow, what
good
a ringing endorsement
there, right?
For Tulsi Gabbard.
That's awesome.
Thanks for sharing that with us.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's important. And that maybe that's why, look, if you're one of these neocons who wants to start trouble, you know, John Bolton, mm-hmm. if that's kind of part of his deal, she's not going to be a pushover, basically, is what he's saying.
I love that.
He calls her views extreme. Yeah. You mean caring about, you know, blood and treasure, but much more important, the blood that you're going to shed. Yeah, you better make sure it's worth it. Yes, that sounds radical. No.
Okay.
Sounds logical. D.B. Cooper.
Oh, wow.
When's the last time you heard that? D.B. Cooper. I wonder if there's some folks a little bit on the younger side that aren't familiar with the legend. The legend of D.B. Cooper. Do they know who D.B. Cooper is now after all these years? Maybe. I'll share that with you coming up next on The Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And don't forget The Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget to click subscribe, and you are in 97.3 The Sky.
terrorist who came across the border.
Illness, industrial complex.
$36 trillion in debt.
Down the path to World War III.
Pause. Pause the chaos. And take time to be thankful.
I'm grateful.
We just want to express our thanks.
We really couldn't get through this without the Sky.
The Sky thanks you for making us the talk leader.
Listening is so much easier than
searching news on my Facebook.
This is just so much better.
I turn on Sky.
It's where I get my news.
Weather, traffic.
Another great year's hard work.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We really appreciate it all.
News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
Much like Santa Claus and what he does on Christmas Eve, flying around the planet, John Kerry doing virtually the same thing, utilizing some CO2, putting that out into the atmosphere while he goes around the globe warning people we're on the brink of declaring a climate emergency. It's an emergency.
Wow.
And I must create more CO2. Going to the next place to get out the word. People should tell him, hey, we got this cool thing now called the interweb.
Yeah.
The internets.
Yeah.
The WWW thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to fly all over and talk to people in person. They hook up, you know, the box to the wire coming out of the wall.
Yeah.
Or,
that's crazy.
Or sometimes you're completely wireless.
You know, you'd think after COVID, and we all learned about Zoom, that when we have like 75, you know, people like him from around the world all flying to Helsinki, they could have that on Zoom and help save the planet.
Is this a case of I'm going to be even more irrelevant come January 20th?
Yes.
Yes.
I want to be seen now before I'm pushed into the background even farther.
You know,
yes.
Why doesn't he enjoy like windsurfing? You know, go back to that. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Go windsurf.
There's plenty of hot air around him.
Anyway, earlier I was talking about D.B. Cooper.
Yeah.
This is like a legendary thing, a hijacking that occurred all the way back in 1971. But
do you think young people know what a hijacking is? It was common when we were kids.
Yeah, and wow, I can't remember the last
just
time.
Just a thought.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, this guy, you know, got on a plane and demanded all kinds of money and wanted a parachute.
Yeah.
And apparently the parachute that they outfitted him with kind of was one of a kind. They said it's literally one in a billion. Well, there's people that have that parachute, or they had it until the FBI picked it up
right
a few months ago. So here's the deal. A pair of North Carolina siblings claim their late father is the ever elusive Boeing hijacker D.B. Cooper after allegedly finding his parachute hidden in their home. Remember, this happened like, what, over Seattle or Oregon or somewhere up there in the high country. Oh, that's why they couldn't track him down initially. Shantae and Rick McCoy III claimed their father, Richard McCoy Jr., was the infamous fugitive who disappeared when he leaped out of a Boeing plane with $200,000 in cash. And for the young people, that was a lot of money back then.
Oh, big time.
That was
imagine.
Like, really? Yeah, he had taken the crew and the passengers hostage in 1971. The siblings said they waited until their mother's death in 2020 to come forward, fearing that she could be implicated in some way, as the parachute that allegedly belonged to Cooper was found in her storage stash outside the house. So that could be a reasonable reason as to why you wouldn't. Yeah. After her death, though, the siblings met with aviation YouTuber Dan Greider, who has seen the parachute and believes it's the one that Cooper used in 71. He said, look, the rig is one in a million. It matches the modified parachute prepared by veteran skydiver Earl Cossey that he would do. He would make those for police specifically. Well, that was part of Cooper's demand, was a parachute, and that's the type that they gave him. This wasn't like mass produced, so to speak. He disappeared somewhere between Seattle and Reno, Nevada. So, yeah, high up in the Sierra Nevadas. D.B. Cooper sleuths have raised the possibility that Richard Jr. was the fugitive for years, given his own criminal past. Turns out that 5 months after the so-called D.B. Cooper pulled off his famous caper, Richard Jr., his kid's father, was caught pulling off a similar hijacking in Utah 5 months later.
Wow.
Now he eventually broke out of prison, but he died in a subsequent shootout with police. Hmm. The McCoy siblings told Grider they've known the truth for years, but talking about it remained taboo in their family over worries law enforcement would implicate their mom in both hijackings. Grider published his latest theory and images of the parachute, with the FBI allegedly reaching out to the McCoys to see the evidence. And the McCoys said the FBI searched the North Carolina complex for additional clues and took possession of the parachute in 2023, with Rick also providing investigators with a DNA sample. The agents allegedly informed him that the next step would be to exhume the father's body. No such request has yet been made. The FBI has not made any public statements about the investigation or acknowledged that it has been actively looking into the D.B. Cooper case. The case was officially closed in 2016 over lack of leads. So it remains to be seen whether Cooper survived the jump over a rugged wooded landscape somewhere between Seattle and Reno. But, you know, one of the few clues about the hijacker's identity was his recovered black tie. And that's another thing. Yes, young people, used to dress up at before they took an airplane.
They dressed nicely for plane rides and ball games, even.
And also a crumbling package of $20 bills matching the ransom money serial numbers was unearthed by a young boy from a sandbar along the Columbia River in 1980. I can tell you, as you know, someone who's been on the radio and kind of following the D.B. Cooper, when it pops up, when a story pops up, you know, it's every few years something comes up, But if you're telling me that they believe their dad was D.B. Cooper, and they have a parachute that's considered, you know, very rare and matches what was probably given out, and their father tried to pull the same kind of thing off in Utah and then died in a gun battle with police after escaping prison, it sure sounds like they really might have their answers here.
Yeah, because obviously if it was made for police and they're a criminal family, they probably didn't have one of those any other way.
Well, and you can look at the artist's rendering of D.B. Cooper that was widely circulated throughout the world, and Richard McCoy, who the kids claim, it's pretty darn close, I'd have to say.
I think so.
Yeah. All right. So this might be it.
Because it's been a mystery, like you said, since 1971, you know, and jumping out of a commercial plane with a parachute. Yeah, the odds of you surviving
over mountains. He was probably, 12 or 13,000 feet.
So,
when he hit the ground. It is. It's just one of those kind of crazy stories from history. But I've never said it before with any of the other things that I've heard. This one sounds like this could be the real deal. In fact, this could be the real McCoy.
I see what you did there.
His name's Richard McCoy.
You think it could be?
You think it just happens like that? I don't believe in
coincidences.
Right. Democrat Mayor Frederick Maryland has pledged taxpayer funds for migrants to pay for migrants, to pay migrants to fight deportation.
Okay.
During President-elect Donald Trump's administration, Mayor Michael O'Connor. We should deport him back to.
Mm-hmm.
No, why would we do that to Ireland?
Yeah, good point.
Pledged to use funds from his budget for the Legal Advocacy Fund should Trump's plan for mass deportations come to his city. Again, this is a mayor of a major city just like in Denver, Colorado, that thinks that protecting illegals. Remember, they're going to go after the worst ones first, okay? The ones that are guilty of, you know, felonies, really bad guys. So this mayor thinks that his duty, it's more important to protect them than it is to work effectively with the federal government and make his city safer.
That's just, there's no logic in that. You're an elected official of this country. Protect the people of this country.
The mayor said the money will be allocated to organizations already providing similar legal services, helping them expand the number of people they're able to support. The fund will provide resources to community partners for Frederick residents who may be harmed by policies from the new administration, ensuring that they have the legal support they need to stand strong and remain in this community they have chosen to call home. I wonder if, you know, the mayor was as enthusiastic about helping maybe citizens who are suffering because the inflation rate went so high that they risked maybe losing their home. Did he step in? And
I did not. We did not have a headline, anything like that. No.
Yeah.
No. No headline.
Yeah. So, once again, never put Americans first. That might as well be their mantra in the Democrat Party.
They'll start wearing
never
blue
put
hats.
Americans
yeah.
first.
Yeah.
Got another pro-migration group requesting $15
million. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Let's think positive. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. It is 8:45. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And coming up next, I'll give you the code word, keyword that you need to win tickets for Rock the Country. Stand by. That's coming up next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And indeed, it is Thanksgiving Eve. Lots to be thankful for, an attitude of gratitude. I'm happy that it's a really another happy hump day, Trump day. And I'm not kidding. I really am optimistic. I know that we're going to see really great things. And I know Trump is going to, he's going into office fired up. And he learned a lot his first go around. He knows where, you know, where a lot of where the trap doors are.
Mm-hmm.
And I really am looking forward to some good things happening. I mean, think about it. If Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are really can have some real power to shrink, you know, the size of government and make it more efficient, that would be fantastic. All right. I want to give you the code word in case you haven't gotten it yet for Rock the Country tickets, two-day tickets. Plus, we also have a pair of general admission plus tickets. I said plus. Yep. That means more. If you get the plus tickets,
you get more.
You get special close to the stage viewing area plus an exclusive bar plus a special entrance, plus premium restrooms.
Ooh.
Yes. Being treated like your own, like you're the rock star. So here's what you need to do. Text the word ROCK, R-O-C-K. Text that to 20357. You'll have a chance to win a pair of two-day tickets. Kid Rock, Hank Jr., Nickelback, Tracy Lawrence, and more. May 9th and 10th. Tickets are on sale, by the way, now at rockthecountry.com. Two-day tickets, $139 a piece. So good luck either way. Hopefully, we'll see you there. Greg will be in his new-to-him Jeep, which will be named Murph.
That's one of the odds.
Yeah, no, it's
that's one you suggested.
Yeah, what are some of the
there was a lot
front
of
runners?
Several on for Sergeant Vince Carter. A lot of fans, I guess, of Gomer Pyle.
You don't want to put golly or something like that.
Okay. But a lot of the tank names are popping up. You know, Sherman, Bradley, that kind of thing. Other sergeant names. Sherman was a popular one for a tank. Of course, a lot of the tanks were named after generals. So there's some connections.
Some cross
there too,
referencing so. Yes. there or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
Well,
I like mine. Just Merca.
There you go.
Put on it. You could go I Heart 2A.
Yes.
I Heart 2A.
There you go.
Right? You seem like you're blowing me off. Well, I don't feel like you're giving
that's
me.
That's not a good name. That's a bumper sticker.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
Good point there.
Yeah.
All right. How about Billy Wright?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, because Bill Wright, you got a name. So I said Billy.
That's
what about
funny.
Billy Wright?
That is funny. Yeah.
How about Billy Wright's the second?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to need a bigger Jeep.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have some fun with it as you're discovering. Hey, you're really your top story is, well, the getting together and maybe having some peace in the Middle East. I let's hope for the best. It's Thanksgiving. Hamas claimed Wednesday it's ready for a ceasefire in Gaza just hours after Israel's truce with Hezbollah terrorists went into effect in Lebanon. The terror group said it was open to efforts to bring an end to its 13-month war with the Jewish state and the Palestinian territory as senior officials hailed the Israel-Hezbollah agreement. Quote, we are committed to cooperating with any effort to reach a ceasefire in Gaza, and we are interested in ending the aggression against our people. Hamas said that in a statement before reiterating its outstanding conditions. So, yeah, I mean, give peace a chance, you know. As long as these terrorist groups are around, as long as they're being financially supported by Iran, don't expect them to simply dry up and go away. Unfortunately, I hope that is the case, but I think that would be rather naive. Hey, maybe you didn't think this would happen, but there's actually some migrants that are self-deporting.
How's that work?
It basically is a story of Ohio sucks.
Oh.
And so does Ohio State, by the way.
Okay.
Kind of kidding. Anyway, not that Michigan's any better for sure this year. They suck. Haitian migrants are reportedly self-deporting from Springfield, Ohio, and fleeing. Where are they going? Apparently, they're going to sanctuary jurisdictions such as Chicago and New York City.
Okay.
Do you know why, Greg?
Why, Bob? Tell us, please.
Because they ate all of the loose and stray cats and dogs.
Wow.
No?
Oh.
Not true?
Too soon? I don't know.
Springfield is a city of 50,000, lies between Columbus and Dayton, garnered national attention months ago when President-elect Donald Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance noted that the community had been inundated with thousands of Haitian migrants as a result of Biden's immigration policies. Many of the 10 to 20,000 Haitian migrants who arrived in Springfield over the last few years are in the United States on temporary protected status. That's a quasi-amnesty program. Others were awarded parole after being released into the United States at the southern border. Breitbart reported in September the arrival of thousands of Haitians driving up housing costs in Springfield, creating more welfare dependency, and coincided with a surge in car crashes that police and firefighters have to respond to. Well, with Trump and Vance's election victory this month, Haitian migrants have told CBS News and The Guardian that they plan to flee to sanctuary jurisdictions like Chicago and New York City. Wow. If you don't like Ohio, if you don't like little old Springfield, Ohio, and you think life's going to be better in Chicago or New York City, good luck to you. Good luck to you. Yeah. But deporting the country doesn't look like that's occurring. 9 o'clock stretch coming up next. Hang in there.